Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia. This is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we want to think about the Bible. How should we be thinking about the scriptures? And we want to take the next few episodes to consider the Bible a little bit more carefully. And some of the categories that theologians would talk about when they talk about the scripture, and what difference that should make in our lives. So for today, we want to consider the inerrancy of the Bible. The Bible is without errors in the autographs, in other words, in the original manuscripts that the scriptures were written. There are no mistakes. Greg Allison, who teaches theology at Southern Seminary in Louisville, has a wonderful book called 50 Core Truths for the Christian Faith. And when he talks about inerrancy, he makes some very good descriptive qualifications. He says, inerrancy in the scripture means that the Bible corresponds to reality. The Bible never affirms anything contrary to fact, and the Bible never contradicts itself. Now, I've heard some people over the years make the statement, the Bible is not a science book, but when it talks about science, it gets it right. And that's a wonderful way to express that. The point of the Bible is not to answer all of our scientific questions. But when the scriptures speak about a scientific reality, it gets it right in the Bible. Now, this teaching that the Bible is without error relates to other teachings that we'll be thinking about over the next few weeks, Lord willing. We want to consider the fact that the Bible is inspired by God. And of course, the inspiration of the Bible goes perfectly well with the inerrancy of the Bible, because God can't lie. And if the scriptures are inspired by God, then they won't have any lies in them as well. So one of our great verses that we like to think about when we think about the nature of the scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So all of the scriptures are breathed out by God. Now, God obviously used human authors over this great span of time and in different places, and he inspired each one to write just what he wanted them to write. Now, that doesn't mean that God was dictating to the Apostle Paul, okay, write this to the Romans, you know, or that kind of thing. Paul was just writing, right? He was sharing his heart to these different churches that he would write these letters to, like the Corinthian church or the Romans, and some personal letters to Timothy, like this that we just read in 2 Timothy 3:16. That's just Paul writing to his son in the faith out of the overflow of Timothy's situation and Paul's heart and experience. However, the Holy Spirit was superintending Paul's writing and even Paul's experience so that Paul would write just what the Spirit wanted him to write in such a way that it would become part of the inerrant, inspired scriptures. not only being a benefit to Timothy, but being a benefit to us as well, and to all of us. Because the scriptures are breathed out by God, they are profitable for teaching. Okay? You might have some great things that you want to teach your friends. Maybe you even have created a YouTube video with some great instruction. But if you're not giving instruction from the scriptures, you don't have any guarantee that your instructive YouTube video is going to be profitable or beneficial for teaching and reproof and correction and for training in righteousness. But the scriptures, because of their power source, right, inspired by God himself, are profitable. They are useful. They are incredibly powerful to help us be taught and help us stay on the right path. They convict us when we get off the path. They redirect us onto God's path, and they are comprehensive in our Christian growth and our Christian life. And so the Bible is so important. So inerrancy is directly connected to inspiration. There's another great I word that theologians use, infallibility. The scriptures cannot fail. And I love the words of Jesus as he is interacting, and he's in John chapter 10, verse 35, and he says, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. And then he goes on from there, right? He's making his point as he's interacting with the Pharisees at that time. But I just want to draw your attention to that phrase, and the scriptures cannot be broken. I mean, Jesus had a very powerful perspective when it came to the scriptures. The scriptures can't fail. Of course they can't fail. They can't be broken at all because they're God's very word. And so they're inspired by God. They're without error because God cannot lie. And of course they can't fail because God can't fail. And this is the very word of God. Two other words that we want to include, and again, we'll hopefully be coming back to this in the weeks to come, looking at these characteristics of scripture more carefully so that we can have a better view of the Bible, so that we can think rightly about the Bible as we read the Bible. These other words are sufficiency and authority. Again, today we're just considering how they're connected to inerrancy. Okay, sufficiency. The Bible has all that we need for life and godliness. And again, if it's full of mistakes, then we're in trouble when it comes to our own understanding of how things ought to be and how things ought to go. And so, but we don't have a problem with that because the scriptures are sufficient because they are inerrant. And also authority. That's a great word. Because they come from God, because they're inspired by God, they come with God's authority. I hope you don't read your Bible with a take it or leave it attitude. Maybe this is right. Maybe this is not right. Maybe I'll obey. Maybe I won't obey. No, when you see something in the Bible, we need to have the kind of attitude that says, we will obey no matter what. This is God's very word to me. So if the Bible tells you not to lie and you have the opportunity to go, well, I can tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, or I can lie. Well, which are you going to do? Well, the Bible's very clear. You tell the truth. You say, well, what if there's consequences? What if this costs me something? Well, that doesn't matter. You know, what if there's a mistake? What if the Bible was wrong about this command not to lie? No, the Bible's not wrong because the Bible has no mistakes. It is inerrant and therefore it is authoritative. Wow, that's so important for us to recognize, but we recognize it because it comes from God's very character. A couple of other verses that help us understand the inspiration and inerrancy of the scripture. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus in the upper room, before he goes to the cross, tells his disciples, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Now, this is a very important scripture. Some people misuse this and they say, "Oh, well, this applies directly to me. So therefore, I don't have to study or know my Bible because Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit and he's just going to have things pop in my mind and that will be enough." Well, this was actually a verse directly to the apostles, the ones who would be writing scripture. So this is actually a great verse for us to have confidence in the Bible. It didn't just depend upon Peter's great recollection of what Jesus said and did. No, the Holy Spirit, in a very particular, special way, was going to bring these things to Peter's minds so that when Peter wrote, he was writing the very words of God. Well, we have to take a break, but when we come back, we want to consider in more detail, with some more qualifications, the teaching that the Bible is without error. It is the inerrant Word of God.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Crotts in just a moment. Got to give him an opportunity to catch his breath, get a drink of water, because this episode, he's been diving deep. I mean, this whole deep dive into the inerrancy of Scripture is a needed reminder for all of us. When he pointed out Jesus saying, "Your word is truth," look, man, that's a slap across the face. I knew that Jesus said that, but it's not just a theological point for us to debate amongst ourselves. It's a daily foundation of our faith. That made me think about it. If the Bible is truly without error, then everything it says about who God is, who we are, about what life's about, that is a trustworthy thing. And I want to recommend something to you, because if this conversation has stirred up some hunger for you to dig deeper, I want to encourage you to check out Jesus Unmasked. It's in the Fortis store right now at fortisinstitute.org. Todd Friel wrote the book, and it's a walk through scripture that shows you start to finish how Jesus isn't just tucked into the New Testament real nice and neat. He's actually a thread that runs from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus Unmasked by Todd Friel in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Oh, and look, if you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus yet, it's free. What are you waiting on? It's packed new content we're adding every day. 7 new pieces of content, hundreds of hours of content already there, audio and video, biblical tools that are going to help you apply what we're talking about to your real life. And if you're the kind of person that likes to think theologically about what's happening in the world, I've got to point you to my daily news. I'm kind of partial to it, but I do work hard to help you see what's happening in the world through a Christian worldview. You can go to FortisPlus.org or search for Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps. Fortis Institute, we've been spending the last 25 years doing one thing, helping people trust God's word and apply it faithfully. And if that's something you believe in too, then we would love to invite you to join us, to partner with us, to be an ongoing monthly gospel partner, because when you join us as a gospel partner, you're helping us to create resources that stay rooted in the truth of Scripture. There's no gimmicks around here. We say what we mean and we mean what we say. Just solid help for the church. We do our best to steward what's being given to us wisely, and we always encourage you to prioritize giving to your local church first. Don't neglect your local church ever for another ministry. Also, don't be a slave to the lender. But if God has been gracious in giving you the margin and you want to link arms with us, you can jump in right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, now let's head back to Dr. John Crotts as he continues to unpack how a trustworthy Bible leads to a transformed life. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotts.
Welcome back. Today we are looking at the inerrancy of the Bible as we consider the bigger category of how to think about the Scriptures. And we have seen that the Bible doesn't have any mistakes. Why not? Because it comes from God himself. And God says about himself as he reveals himself in the scripture, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. I just want to draw your attention to that phrase, God who cannot lie. Satan is called the father of lies. If the devil is telling you things, you know you can't believe them. If God is telling you things, you absolutely know you can trust every single word that God gives to us. Because as Jesus said, the scripture cannot be broken. We also considered the fact that this teaching about inerrancy is related to other categories. Not only does it come from God's very character, but it is inspired by God. And before we took our break, we saw in the upper room that Jesus told the disciples that the Holy Spirit was going to help them remember the things that Jesus had said and did. And of course, we have those inspired, inerrant records in the Gospels of Jesus, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the story about Jesus. In John chapter 16, verse 13, another thing Jesus said in the upper room, he said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." Now, just like the verse in chapter 14, verse 26, which says the Spirit would be reminding the apostles of the truth, here the apostles are getting direct communication from the Spirit as they would do their writings, as they would do their preaching and their ministry. And this was the essence of the inspiration of the scriptures. And I made the point, and it applies to this one as well, that these verses are not to you. Yes, they're for you, because all the scripture is for us, but not all the scripture is directly to us. So some people read these words and say, aha, I also have the Holy Spirit, therefore I'm also getting messages from God, and I just need to make sure my antenna are tuned correctly so I can hear from God himself. But the Bible does not tell us to be tuning our antennas to hear direct messages from God. The Bible tells us that the normal Christian life is to read the scriptures, to study the scriptures in their original context. What did the author intend for the original readers to get? And then to put one scripture with another and fit them together so that we have one unified message. And then how is our situation like the original audience? And then let's make application to ourselves through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our normal means of ministry. Well, what if God wanted to make some kind of declaration to us? Could God not do that? Well, sure, God can do whatever he wants to. However, there's nothing in the Bible that says we ought to be looking for God to communicate with us in that way that he did with the apostles. So that's really an important distinction to make. I'm not saying God could never do such a thing. I am saying it's not the norm. It's not the regular means of ministry. And therefore, we should be people about the Bible. People about the Bible, which doesn't have any mistakes, because it's inspired by God who cannot lie, and it has all of God's authority, and it is sufficient for life and godliness, and it cannot fail. All right, Greg Allison, in his book, 50 Core Truths for the Christian Faith, makes some wonderful qualifications. He says some people who don't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture kind of misunderstand the normal writing of the Scripture. So they think the Bible has errors, and they make such a big deal about these things, not recognizing that the Spirit inspired regular people to write in regular ways, ways that we taught. And we ought not to make the Bible be something that it's not supposed to be, right? So here's some examples of this just kind of ordinary talking, right? He even calls the first one ordinary speech. Like if we make reference to the sunrise and to the sun setting, some people might say, aha, an error, a mistake in the scriptures, because the Bible speaks about the sun rising and the sun setting. But that's That's just the way we talk, isn't it? That's not some strange, unusual kind of communication. And we talk like that. We don't ever say, oh, what a beautiful earth rotation, right? Even though that's technically correct. We say, what a lovely sunset. If you're going to take your wife on a date, I don't think you should be highlighting the earth rotation, right? You just get that romantic sunset view. That's what you're looking for. And it's okay to talk like that. And the Bible talks like that because that's sort of the language of appearance. It looks like the sun is setting from our perspective. Let's let the Bible speak that way as well. Let's not call that an error. Let's just calling that normal means of communication. Another example of this ordinary way of talking is sometimes the Bible uses loose quotations. In other words, are there quotations of the Old Testament in the New Testament? Yes, absolutely. No problem. And that's wonderful. But just sometimes the writers of the New Testament give paraphrases of an Old Testament quote or an allusion to an Old Testament reference or even another reference from the New Testament. Yes, the Bible does that. Some people say, aha, there's errors. Don't tell me that this comes from the God who cannot lie. Don't tell me these are the inspired, inerrant words of God because this is a loose quotation. Yes, but you and I make loose quotations all the time. And it's okay, as long as we understand that sometimes the scripture authors of the New Testament make these loose quotations. That's perfectly fine. And you can go back and check the references. He's not misquoting in terms of taking something out of context. He's not distorting the original meaning. He may be amplifying the meaning or giving you some meaning that you didn't realize at the time was significant in there when you were reading your Old Testament, but it's not like some different meaning that wasn't part of God's original design. He's not playing fast and loose with the scriptures, and he's certainly not making mistakes when he alludes to something or gives a paraphrase of something. Wow. I mean, I hope we in our ministry to one another are communicating the scriptures all the time. Well, we don't have to have a direct quotation all the time. Sometimes you could just say, yeah, you know, in the Bible where it talks about this, and that's okay. Well, sometimes the inspired authors of the New Testament do the same thing. Also, we see that sometimes the New Testament gives various translations of Jesus's sayings. So the New Testament was written in Greek. However, Jesus wasn't talking in Greek in his earthly ministry. He was talking in Aramaic, the common language of the people. And so sometimes the New Testament authors will say, yeah, Jesus said this. And it is a valid translation from the Aramaic into Greek. Sometimes it could be translated with a different word, and sometimes a different author might use that different word to give the accurate, inspired translation of the same Aramaic phrase. That's okay. Sometimes the authors of the New Testament are using the stories of Jesus differently. In other words, not necessarily chronologically. Sometimes, like Mark is pulling together five different conflict stories in the life of Jesus in Mark 2 and the beginning of verse 3. Well, they aren't necessarily in chronological order. It didn't necessarily go from one conflict, two conflicts, three conflicts, four conflicts. Mark is making a point. Mark is communicating something about the conflicts. And so don't try to hold Mark to a different standard. Oh, he didn't use the same order as the other gospel, therefore it's wrong. No, not true. Mark is using these things differently. He's not trying to write a strict chronology. And sometimes there are different parallel accounts within the Gospels that highlight different facets of the story, the same story. Again, these are not contradictions. So are there potential copy errors that have happened over time? Yes, but no major doctrines are affected by these. And we thank God for his preservation of his inerrant word. If this is the case, what should you do? You should read it. You should know it. You should rely on it completely. You should obey it. Let's have confidence in the scriptures because they are without error, just like God is without error. So go and do this inerrant word of God.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.